Okay, good evening, everybody. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay CSD General Meeting. If I could ask everybody to stand up and follow Town Assistant Manager Dina on the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If I get roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. I'll let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time of the meeting for public comments. If there's any member of the public that wishes to address the board, now is your opportunity to speak to us about anything that's not on the agenda. You'll have 3 minutes. And with that being said, is there anyone online that wishes to address us?
Yes. Hello?
Hello. Please state your name and go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Thayer. I am not on the agenda. I live in the Centex Homes and was told to get on tonight's meeting. We have been having issues in our neighborhood for as long as we could go back, years and years, with people driving recklessly and speeding through our neighborhood at all times of the day, morning, afternoon, evening, middle of the night, it doesn't matter. Especially down Regatta. I live on Regatta myself. We have seen some situations happen. Thank God nothing happened, but tragic. My husband being one who almost got hit by a car, who was being impatient, driving behind somebody who was towing a boat one time, almost lost control and he almost got hit. So loud sometimes that it feels, actually often, it feels like people are accelerating in my bedroom at night. It literally wakes me up constantly. And I know that a lot of the homeowners in this neighborhood feel exactly the same way. I have started a petition, and so far I've got 1/3 of the Centex homeowners to sign this, requesting speed bumps. We're hoping that that will make a difference in our neighborhood. We all pay to live here, pay property taxes, and we all have a right to feel at peace and be able to relax in our homes, out front of our homes. We have kids, we have animals, and it's just getting really out of control. We all feel that it's like Highway 4 inside the Centex neighborhood. It is not a thorough street. It is not a racetrack. This is a neighborhood where families and people live, and they want to relax, and they want to feel safe. They want to be able to have their kids go outside and play. And I understand there isn't an HOA here. There's no CCNRs that are signed. This is not a private community. And we've been told that, you know, we can't have speed bumps because of fire trucks and ambulances can't get through, or it's going to slow them down. My husband works for the fire department. He's in charge of every single fire engine in Contra Costa County. And those fire engines are designed to be able to handle to go over speed bumps just fine. And there is nothing proven that the fire engine or the calls are delayed to speed bumps at all. There's speed bumps in apartment complexes. I know that in the lakes and in the golf course, there's speed bumps there. However, I know that there's CCNRs and things that are signed by homeowners when they purchase homes there due to the gated community, et cetera. But we've all had enough, and we want to feel safe, and we want to be able to relax. We want to be able to enjoy our home. We want to have our kids be able to go out, ride their bikes. Us be able to walk our dogs and not feel like somebody's going to come flying down the street. It's just, we're all over it. So, like I said, I've got a petition started with, so far, about 1/3 of the Centex owners, and we wanted to reach out to the meeting tonight to be heard, to really express to you our concern and the importance of doing something in this neighborhood. Like I said, there's already a lot of stuff that goes on in this neighborhood, crime-related, constantly. And if we could just get this part under control at least a little bit, it would be really, really wonderful. So we are requesting speed bumps to be put in, at least through the main thoroughways, Regatta, sailboat,
Tiffany, if I can interrupt you, Tiffany, can you hear me? I apologize. Your 3 minutes has expired, so I have to cut you off. But you have been heard, and there's other area agencies on the line as well. So
okay, thank you so much for listening.
Absolutely, thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Is there any other members of the public that wishes to address the board about anything that's not on the agenda?
I would just like to change Georgia Addison. I'm on Regatta Drive. I would just like to compliment Tiffany for her great opening. I've been in this community for almost 26 years, and those speed bumps have been an issue since day one. We, a couple of us in the neighborhood that were the beginning neighbors, when we first tried to do something twice, and have been rejected. We're hoping that you will give us some kind of information as to where we can go, where, what, how do we start, what's the best way to get this recognized and looked at so we can try to do something to protect all of us, the children, the animals, the adults, the seniors, anything we can do, because there are speed bumps also on Fairview and Brentwood, which is a main thoroughfare. So I think them saying that Regatta Drive does not qualify, if that is the correct term, I just want to throw that out there and say, what do you think we can do? How can we get this going? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that wishes to address?
Yes. My name is Sarah Reynes. I live on Sailboat Drive in Regatta as well, and I just wanted to hop on this call. We are the main entrance right off of Highway 4, the first corner house. There is one stop sign leaving the neighborhood, but there's not a stop sign coming in. It's not like really anybody follows the stop sign right in front of our house anyways. So I just wanted to voice and be heard that stop signs really are, if that's something that is going to be thought of to put in the future, it's just a waste of time, just because they run the stop signs constantly. Again, we are the house right off of Highway 4, and there are people flying through here left and right. I almost got hit on the sidewalk just unloading groceries the other day because someone sped in and had to make a quick turn to not hit my car. And, you know, like I said, I put out the slow down things. I put the cones out. People have either stolen them or ran over them. And so at this point, we've tried every measure possible, and it's simply just nothing is happening. So I just wanted to voice my opinion on that. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sarah. Any other members of the public that wishes to address?
We're not seeing any other members of the public, Chair. For the purpose of the public, we do have our supervisor representative on the line that has heard all of the comments. So I just wanted to report that to you, Chair.
Thanks, Council. With that being said, then, we'll close public comments and we'll move to the consent calendar. Does any member wish to, board member, to pull anything from the consent calendar? Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Griggs?
Aye.
President Gattone?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, with that being said, we'll move to area agency reports. I believe there is no one from Jim Fraser's office. I'll give it 1 second. Do we have someone from Supervisor Diane Burgess's office? Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Congratulations.
This is Leah Rodriguez.
Yes.
I made it. It finally happened. So anyhow, Leah Rodriguez with Supervisor Diane Burgess's office, and I did hear the public comment, and I think it's Tiffany, is the ringleader of the speed bumps in the Centex development, and if she's listening, Tiffany, please give me a call at 381-7613, and I can help direct you to Public Works and have you work with the traffic safety coordinator on the speed bumps. Okay, so moving on with my report, just a quick transportation update. Contra Costa County Public Works is performing the guardrail work on Bosco Road starting today through Thursday, April 15th. The work will occur from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it will be from Camino Diablo Road to the Alameda County line. And I believe message boards were put out last week to advise drivers beforehand, but just know that anyone who commutes, there will probably be some traffic, so plan accordingly. Kevin, please let your wife know.
Thank you, Leah, I will.
And then, so fireworks, fire season is going to be here before you know it, and Supervisor Burgess, along with the Sheriff's Department, is looking to update our fireworks ordinance. It is my hope that we'll have something in draft form that I'll be able to present to your board and the community, something that hopefully you can get behind and support when we bring it to the full board for adoption. So that will be coming to you soon. And then COVID, so today Contra Costa County now qualifies for the less restrictive orange tier. And as of this morning, Contra Costa County's overall positive testing rate is 1.8%. And additionally, our hospitalizations are down to their lowest since October. People should continue wearing masks in public and get vaccinated as soon as they can so we can maintain the recent progress. Contra Costa County must remain in the orange tier for at least 3 weeks before moving into the next less restrictive yellow tier. Governor Newsom on Tuesday announced that the state plans to eliminate its color-coded tier system as of June 15th and fully reopen the economy. The entire state will move into this phase as a whole. This will not be county by county. The June 15th date is not set in stone and is dependent on two factors, one being a sufficient vaccine supply, and two, stable and low numbers of people hospitalized in the hospital with the disease. sorry. Can't get it out. At the press conference, the governor said that mask requirements would remain even after June 15th. That is all I have for today, unless you have any questions.
I don't see any, but that's fantastic news. Keep us in the loop, Leah.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a member from the sheriff's office on the line?
Yes, hello, Mark Johnson with the Sheriff's Office.
Hey, Lieutenant.
Hi, I hope everybody's doing well, staying out of trouble. So for a station house, we had a total of 35 arrests. For Discovery Bay, we had a 405 calls for service, and we took 42 reports. Deputy Castelluccio, who is our resident deputy out there, I actually nominated him for a Patrol Deputy of the Year. Although he didn't get it, he finished second to another deputy that works out of Bay Point. It's actually a pretty big honor just to be nominated for our Patrol Deputy of the Year. So he's doing a fantastic job. So again, if you see him, make sure he knows. But he's doing really well for us out here.
And I'm sorry, what was his name again? That was
Cody Castelluccio.
Oh, Cody.
Everybody just called him Cody. Yep. Yeah. So back in November, Roundtable was broken into in the middle of the night, and a bunch of money was taken, and I think a few other items. So when the deputies went out there and took the report, they did find the flashlight that was left behind. So they did take the flashlight, we did submit it for DNA, and lo and behold, we got a hit for a probationer out at Stanislaus County. So our detectives did some follow-up, ID'd the suspect, did some workup, and the district attorney is filing charges for burglary on that case.
Nice.
So that's a fantastic job.
Nice
job. We're still having a big problem with catalytic converters, and that's everywhere. So some of the outside agencies have taken some people into custody, but there's so many people out there doing it, it's hard to get everyone. So our investigation is actually, we have a big car that they put out in Richmond, Bay Point, and then either this week or next week, they're going to put it out in Discovery Bay and see if we can catch somebody trying to steal the catalytic converter. That's still a hot commodity. The shoplifting over at the Sandy Cove Shopping Center, the CVS and Safeway have gone way down. It went from getting calls every day to CVS didn't have something for 5 days in a row, which is fantastic. But we're still hitting that lock very, very hard, and we're arresting everybody we can who's shoplifting down there. So the word is definitely out, don't come here and steal. Okay, so some of the reports that we did take, we arrested two individuals. They were acting suspicious in the CVS parking lot. We contacted them. They ended up having methamphetamine in the car, and the female passenger had heroin in their purse. And they did admit that they were coming to the CVS to steal. We stopped another car a little bit later, a suspicious vehicle in front of the CVS. The driver was on probation, searched the car, found some drugs. Another car stop over at the Safeway gas station for spy registration, something minor. Driver's on probation, searched the car, ended up finding some drugs. We did two traffic stops that resulted in DUI arrests, which we turned over to CHP. We investigated four non-criminal deaths. We arrested two people on warrants who were residing in Discovery Bay. We took three battery reports. In one of those cases, somebody sustained a broken nose and was taken to the hospital. We had a call on a Saturday night off of Willow Lake, and somebody called and said that there was a suspicious vehicle driving through the neighborhood. They saw two people get out and look into another car. They thought they were breaking into the car. Gave us a good description, gave us a license plate. Deputies got into the area. They spotted the car leaving down Discovery Bay Boulevard and turning right on the Highway 4. They tried to do a traffic stop. The car took off. There was a pursuit into Brentwood. They lost the car in Brentwood. But with their ALPRs, we were able to track the car. It was, even though it had a Sacramento address on the registration, it was actually kept hitting on ALPRs in the Richmond area. So they were eventually able to find the car. And then we were able to track down where this car was going, because every once in a while it would hit in Discovery Bay. So that was pretty good. We had a call at the McDonald's drive-thru. Somebody got upset at their order and decided they were going to pull a gun. No shots were fired or anything, but the car did take off. We did not find the suspect in that case. We had three auto burglaries. I think they were all on one day. And lastly, we had a commercial burglary over at the Vision FX, which is on Discovery Boulevard. It happened in the middle of the night. They broke the glass door, went in, stole a bunch of sunglasses and prescription glasses. So that's it for the reports. So I also provided the board some statistics for the last year. So from March 1st, 2020 to March 31st, 2021, it's nice to see they looked at 27 different crimes, and it's nice to see we had a bunch of zeros in a lot of those boxes. And the only thing, back in December and January, I mentioned we were having a spike, and you kind of see the spike there. And then I also had statistics for all of 2019, and it's kind of the same thing. There's a lot of zeros. Nothing that stands out. And then just to compare ourselves, Discovery Bay, to cities like Danville, Lafayette, and Orinda, I did attach those stats so you can kind of see how we compare to some of these other cities. With Danville, Lafayette, and Orinda, I would absolutely expect them to be higher because they are a little bit bigger, and they do have, a lot of stuff going on. But Danville was voted, I think, the safest city in California 2 years in a row, and we're way below. Now, if I combined Discovery Bay, Knightson, Byron, Bethel Island all together, we would probably be the same as Danville, Lafayette, and Orinda. But it just goes to show that, our crime stats are pretty good. A big part of that is, we get support from the community. Our deputies are still out there being proactive. And with that combination, we're going to have low crime rates. So with that, I'll leave it open to any questions.
I'm not seeing any questions, but I know from the board standpoint, we appreciate you put together all these stats. It definitely opened my eyes to see that we're actually doing pretty good. And our community is not as bad as some people want to make it out to be. So I know I will speak for the rest of the board and say we appreciate all the hard work your deputy's been doing, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Lieutenant. Do we have a member from the CHP?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Is there a CHP member on the line?
I don't see a number that I recognize from the CHP chair.
What about East Contra Costa Fire Protection District?
Good evening, Board. Lieutenant Chief McCumber, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, sir?
Good. All right, here is the monthly report for the month of March. So Discovery Bay had 56 calls for service, an average response time of 943. Happy to report no major incidents in Discovery Bay for the month of March. Overall, the district ran 650 calls for service in the month of March, an average response time of 833. That included responding to 8 residential structure fires, 4 vehicle fires, 3 vegetation fires, and 19 exterior fires. District also responded to 19 vehicle accidents with an additional 4 requiring rescue, 5 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 1 motorcycle accident, and 2 bicycle accidents. Just some going ons in the district. Obviously, we are still head deep into our annexation with Contra Costa Fire. We were supposed to have a look at a preliminary report soon. However, that report is slightly delayed, and I do say it's just slightly. We do hope to have a look at the report within the next month or so, but according to everything we're being told, everything is still looking good with that report, and the goal date still is to submit it to LAFCO on July 1st. So, again, if you want an update from the fire chief about the annexation with Contra Costa Fire, please attend our fire board meetings the second Wednesday of each month at 6:30 p.m. live stream through our website. We are still not in any position to have an in-person fire board meeting at this time, but with things starting to open up, we'll probably be looking to do so over the next couple months. Some good news, regardless if we get annexed into Confire or not, our plans are to open our Station 55 next March. We have the budgetary money for that, looking through our budget for next year. So we did interview some candidates just in case. However, regardless of whether we merge with Confire or if we don't merge with Confire, that station will open next March. So there's a bit of good news. This district will finally get its fourth station up and running. The district is still supporting the vaccination clinic that's being held at the Los Medinos Extension in Brentwood. We are committed to that through the end of May. And we have a clinic scheduled for this Friday that's still appointment only. However, through our efforts just in the Brentwood Clinic alone that we're assisting with, we have vaccinated well over 4,000 residents of our area. So with going off of what Leah said earlier, the numbers are coming down because the vaccines are going up, so things are starting to turn around and look a lot better than they were. However, that is based on the wildland season and our availability. So while Leah did say that wildland season is around the corner, it's actually kind of here. Over this last weekend, as soon as it got a little bit warm, there were a number of vegetation fires up and down the state. So we're already getting a taste of a long, hard wildland season. And just for the record on that, the San Jose State University Fire Weather Laboratory published a report over the last 2 days that, and I quote, the 2021 fire season is looking grim and that the region's fuel moisture content is the lowest they've ever seen. That's not good news. And I want to let everybody know that, because get your weeds abated now. If you're seeing properties that need a weed abatement, please report them to our district as soon as possible. Our prevention personnel are getting on it earlier this year than in years past, because there just has been no rain. So these fuels are already drying out and the hills are turning brown. It's already going to be ugly out there. And one less fire is going to do the world of good. So again, make sure that, if you see any properties that need to be abated, please report them to our district so we can start going through the process of abatement there. Other than that, that is what I have for the board this evening, and I'm available for questions.
You mentioned, this is Carolyn Graham, by the way, and thank you for the fabulous report you always give. You mentioned the fire station opening March of 2022, and that was station number 4, is that correct?
Yeah, so it is our station numbered 55, but it will be a fourth station open for our district, and that's located just across from the Summer Lake neighborhood in Oakley.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all the questions. Town Chief, thank you very much for the report.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Okay, then moving forward, G, business and action items.
Members of the board, the Ravenswood Improvement District Discovery Bay Lighting and Landscape District, zone number 9, is funded by a per lot assessment. The amount is determined by an engineering assessment report. The board must approve and direct that the engineering assessment report be prepared. This approval is made by resolution. Perwood Engineering has prepared this report since the zone's inception. Due to their in-depth knowledge and access to historical data, staff recommends approving resolution 2021-05, which directs Perwood to prepare the 2021-2022 annual assessment for the Ravenswood Improvement District, zone number 9. Perwood Engineering will perform this work under the current contract with the town for a not to exceed amount of $1,800. Any questions?
No question. Then let's go ahead and open up to the public. Is there any public comments regarding this item?
No action, Chair.
Okay, we'll close public comments. Bring back the board for action and or
move to accept staff report.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gouteau?
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Julie. All right, guys, move forward to the manager's reports. Notification update. Hey, Aaron.
Evening. So I'm just bringing to you a denitrification update that's been taking place at Plant 2. I'm just going to give you the rough timeline of the dates. Well, rough. So the project went out to bid April 1st. We have 14 general contracting firms that have affected plants, which is a pretty good quantity. The bids are going to be due May 6th. The board will be looking over those and awarding that hopefully May 19th. There's going to be a construction notice to proceed on June 7th with a completion date of June 8th, 2023. So that will be about hopefully 6 months before a permit goes into effect, which is December 2023. Questions on the denitrification. All right. On the water update, we've got quite a few things going on right now. Well 4A, redid the station piping there at Newport, and we also upgraded the stormwater at there as well. That well is ready to be kicked on, I'm thinking in the next probably 2 weeks. The filter project that's also taking place at the Newport treatment plant, we're hoping that's going to be wrapped up by the end of this month. We're already kind of late in the season. We wish to get this done sooner. We're up against it. We need that filter back online, but we're thinking pretty good timeline before May. We also have the underwater crossing projects taking place on Willow Lake and Laguna. Right now we have the general contractor out there doing some potholing, digging bore pits for the northern directional drill. The HDD contractor is going to be on site to install the pipe underneath the lake. They're going to be on site April 12th. We're thinking this project is going to wrap up before May. We also have well 1B that got refurbished. Right now, we did the chemical cleaning on it. We did the brushing cleaning on it. We did a capacity test on it right now. I think they're pulling everything up today. Our pump and our motor should be here before May, and that well should be back online first or second week of May.
Sounds good.
Thank you. While there's no action here, is there any members of the public wish to speak about either the denitrification or water projects that we're looking at?
Showing no activity on the phone, Chair.
Okay, thank you. With that, then we'll move to General Manager's Report, if there is one.
Thank you, Board. I do have two items to just update you on. First one is, if you recall, the Board voted to have the President sign a letter to Caltrans asking them to take a second look at the intersection of Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard. I wanted to let you know, we did get a return letter recently back from Caltrans that says, okay, we received your letter and we'll be in touch.
Wow.
The next item I'd like to report on is Newport Point development is actually now been approved by LAFCO and is within now the jurisdiction of the town of Discovery Bay. We expect our boundary map in from LAFCO. The changes our boundary line, those maps, we hope to get by the end of this week or early next week. Once those come out, we'll get them out to the board, post them online, and see if we can get some bigger ones made somehow. So Discovery Bay just grew in geography. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Director's reports. Kevin, would you like to give the director report?
Sure. For the Finance Committee, the meeting we had earlier today, we basically did an in-depth review of the preliminary draft budget, went line by line, reviewed the different items that are on there, and that budget will be coming to the board for approval in the near future. And it was a very extensive presentation by Julie. She did a really great job on that. That's about all we did with the, we changed our bylaws. Thank you very much, Internal Office, for switching with us. We appreciate that. And that was about the, yes, thank you. That was it.
Internal Ops?
So at our Internal Ops meeting today, we adjusted the meeting time. So the next and future meetings will be at 3:30. And we added a statement to the town charter pointing out our support of diversity and inclusion.
Nice.
Other than that, there were no other reportable items.
Awesome. And then there was a water wastewater meeting.
So we had Herwa Engineering at the water wastewater meeting. They went through the denitrification project, went through the timeline, went through the bid process, went through what's good and maybe some potential things that come up, and just really was a report on that. Nothing crazy.
Any other reportable items? Director's report. Looks like Carolyn, you had a...
Yes, I sat in on the Tri-Delta Transit meeting on Wednesday, March 24th. It was a good meeting. Not much of it had direct relevance to us, a few things, but they were very excited to have somebody from Discovery Bay on the phone with them. So there is a paratransit program that we're going to be getting some information on that people in our community may want to see.
So if I could get my parrot transferred then, if I want to have him ship some. Oh, paratransit, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're one of those moods, huh?
You've been cooped up too long. Yeah. No pun intended.
correspondence received, well... town manager went over the Caltrans correspondence, so thank you. Any future agenda items? Hearing none, then 7:34, meeting adjourned.